Hi, everyone. This is Andy Studna, Senior Editor of Applied Clinical Trials, and welcome to another episode of the ACT Podcast. Today, we'll be hearing from Janine Donadio, Executive Director of Portfolio Management at Transcelerate, and Laura Gallucci, Senior Director and Transcelerate Program Lead at Merck. In my conversation with Janine and Laura, we dove into a number of topics around Transcelerate and Tufts' recently released study on data collection, including protocol complexity, streamlining data operations, and more. Let's get started. Laura and Janine, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, so we can kick this off with our very first question. So, the latest study conducted by Transcelerate and Tufts found that nearly one-third of data collected in phase three trials is non-essential. So, Laura, this first question is going to be for you. Why do you think clinical trial protocols continue to grow more complex despite the push for more efficiency?
So, great question. Let me start by just reminding your audience of how we defined non-essential in this project. So, non-essential is defined as a procedure which is conducted more frequently than needed to support whatever hypothesis or objective it's tied to. So many times, while it may not be essential to support that hypothesis, the procedure is included for other care of the patient. So this is a balance. And in phase three trials, depending on the maturity of the compound and the indication area, the goal is not to have zero, but it's to have an appropriate balanced percentage there, depending on what the situation is. And as we've discussed a little bit in the manuscript, there's a lot of reasons why trials are becoming more complex. Our study didn't specifically solicit to answer that question, but we have quite a few hypotheses, such as the growing number of targeted indications or a more narrow patient population, which means ultimately more fit-for-purpose products for patients, but you have to do a lot more assessments to find that very targeted population. There's quite a few other reasons for that increase in complexity. We have new tools, new techniques. So there's not a one size fits all, which makes the whole approach on how to solve for some of these challenges very complex itself.
Yeah. I think as Laura highlights, if there was just one underlying reason, probably would have addressed it by now. So I think that is the reality, is there's a myriad of contributing factors, ones that you've mentioned. Even advances in technology now, it's made it even easier to collect more data.
Yeah.
I think as you have multiple stakeholders in there from the commercial side, the scientific side, the regulatory side, everyone, wants their piece in there. And that just, I think, despite the probably intention to be efficient, I just think some of those drivers just keep fueling that complexity and adding additional data points.
All right, fantastic. So we will move on to our next question. And Laura, going to go right back to you for this one as well. Another finding from the study, with 25 to 30% of participant and site burden tied to either non-essential or non-core data, what are some practical steps that clinical operations teams can take to streamline data collection without compromising regulatory expectations?
One of the things that this paper highlights is that it's a methodology that protocol authors can follow themselves to think through what is the purpose, explicit purpose of the data that I'm collecting. So that really can help start that mindset shift of being more focused and more fit for purpose in that data collection. Again, there's not a simple recipe to be able to follow, but having those a methodology and having the mindset of what am I using this data for will really be the first step in thinking through how protocols can be more focused and fit for purpose, just as many of the recent ICH guidances are supportive of.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we've been talking about with the team, it's those critical thinking decisions making, but it's also doing it early on, right? Trying to get alignment early on with your stakeholders and with the medical teams and scientific teams, regulatory teams. I think that alignment earlier, right, doesn't then have that kind of bleed on effect as you go through the development process and additional things keep getting added, and others maybe early up in the process don't even realize that that's happening. So I think that's helped, and even continuing to make sure we get site and patient input right into protocol design. I think that gives us some, or will surface some of those real world insights. What's feasible? What's burdensome? I think items like that really can help the team.
Absolutely.
All right, great. Thank you both once again. Now, on to our final question. Janine, I'd like to hear from you first on this one. But as we look towards smarter data strategies, how can sponsors, CROs, and sites better collaborate to design trials that reduce burden while still delivering the insights needed to support approvals?
Yeah. Well, it's a word that's near and dear to the kind of heart of Transcellerate, which it is that word collaboration. So thinking about, sponsors, heroes, sites, aligning early in that protocol development process to say what data is truly essential. And let's hold hands on, like, this is the data that truly is essential. We know that the sites are going to bring that operational insight into that question. We know that the CROs can look and contribute lessons learned, right, from past trials and what they've learned there. The sponsors can bring some of that scientific rigor, but also work with regulatory agencies, understand what their expectations are, or, what they've seen in the past from regulatory expectations. So I think all that collaboration is super important to make this go well, and doing that really upfront. And then, as I kind of mentioned before, I think involving patients in the design phase. So the patients can help to identify what's practical, what may be too burdensome, what might they might see that could impact patients staying in the trial and the retention around that, right? So I think when you bring all the stakeholders, including the patients, part of that conversation early on in the design phase, you're more likely to build a trial that's, both efficient but get you to your kind of outcome that you're trying to get to.
Exactly. And the team is actively working on solutions that will help prompt protocol authors in the future to think through these elements, starting at the very beginning, all the way through their design period. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's really intended to be a series of frameworks and prompting questions. But I can add that as a foundational first step on the Transcellerate website, we did look at the regulatory landscape as our foundation for these materials. And you can see very clearly there's a momentum and support to be more fit for purpose, more risk proportional approaches. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it has to match whatever the indication is, the maturity of the mechanism being studied, and it's commonly adapted as that trial goes from phase one to phase three. There are different purposes for each of these studies, and the protocols would appropriately reflect that.
All right, fantastic. Well, once again, Laura and Janine, thank you so much for your time today. It was great speaking and great to connect.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andy.